Amen. Okay, so if you will turn with me to the book of Exodus, we're going to be in Exodus chapter 23. And, oh, by the way, I haven't told you who I am. I often forget to tell people who I am, and they probably go home thinking, who was that guy? I am the junior high pastor. My name is Raul Diaz, so there you go. First service also knows who I am, so we're all good. Okay. Exodus 23. And before, we're going to be in the verses 27 through 33. And before we get into it, let me give you a little bit of background to our text. We're dealing with God telling his people, the Israelites, as they're about to go into the land of promise, which he promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that, you know, God gave him very detailed instructions, how they were to worship, what they were to eat and not to eat, what, you know, the tabernacle, everything. God gave him very detailed directions on what they were to live. But as they were about to go into the promised land, God gave them very, you know, what I believe, key instructions of how they are to deal with the people of the land. And if you know your story, you probably do, you know, the Israelites were in slavery under bondage in Egypt for 400 years until the sin of the Canaanites was full. Then God used Moses, a deliverer, a picture of, and Aaron to bring them out of Egypt into the wilderness to a land of promise. So as you look at, you know, the parallels, it's kind of like a picture of the Christian. You know, the Christian is under bondage in the world. Egypt is a picture of the world, the Bible. Excuse me. And every time the Bible is referred to Egypt, it says you go down to Egypt and up to Jerusalem. So it's like the world. So God has saved us from the grip of the world, the system of the world. He has saved us. He used a deliverer, Jesus, to come and lead us out of bondage into a land or spirit-filled life, a life of promise that he has prepared for us. So with that background, amen. With that background, let's read verse 27 of Exodus 23. It says, I will send my fear before you and will cause confusion among all the people to whom you come. And we make all your enemies turn their backs to you, meaning run from you. And I will send hornets before you, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before you. Verse 29, pay attention here. I will not drive them out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. 30, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. Verse 32. You shall make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. So God is telling his people, the land is yours. I promised this to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have given you the land. It's for you to take. It's yours. I'm going before you. But I'm not going to give you the entire land all at once in 1 year. I'm going to give it to you little by little. And that's the title of my message today, little by little. See, if you're anything like me, I like to see things come together. I often get engaged in projects at work or home or things. And I always in my head have a picture of the final product. I'm like, okay, I can't wait till it's done. I can't wait till the lights turn on and the pump starts work, you know, the car takes off. You know, I can't wait until we finish this project. And delays, I don't deal well with delays. somebody has a software glitch or somebody didn't come through, or material was in order, I don't necessarily, I'm very happy about it. I go like, oh, that just sits back my project. Now I got to wait another week. Oh, what do you mean 2 weeks? 2 weeks? Really, 2 weeks? We told you 6 months ago. See, we like things coming together. If you're anything like me and you like to see the finished product, that's why we have Instapots and Amazon Prime. You know what I'm talking about. Everything is right away. So these people, to be fair, they've been in bondage for 400 years. And God says, okay, you're free now. Let's go. But slowly. You're going to conquer this land that I have promised you, that is yours to take, that I'm going to go before you. I'm going to drive out the enemy. You're going to conquer it at my own pace, with my timeline, at my speed, when I lead, as I move forward. If you think about it, in the desert, in the wilderness, whenever the cloud moved, the people moved. See, they didn't move before the cloud. See, they follow right under. When the cloud moved, the people followed. Not ahead, not too far behind. They'll get scorched by the sun. See, they were right there at God's speed, little by little. And for humans, it is hard. We want things right away. You know, you look at people in the Bible, you know, and even in our history, and God works, but he works at his own pace. I wish I could be everything now that God has planned for me to be. I wish I could see the final price. Yeah, I arrive. Cool, you know. But I only can see in front of me what's here, and God knows. See, he has written a book, Psalm 139. He knows my story. He has ordained my days. Our days are numbered. He knows. I only can see now. I walk by faith. So to the people of Israel that are now free from bondage, like we are, that are now to live into the life, into the land that God had promised them to, God says, you're going to follow me, but you're going to go at my rate. It's going to be little by little. It's going to be my timing. Our timing, it's very different from God's. Keep that in mind. Ecclesiastes 3:11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has put eternity in our hearts. You look at things in life and you see, perhaps you've experienced this, where you look back at a season, time, event, and you wanted it this way, but it turned out to be this way on this season. And you look back and you're able to say, it's beautiful. It's perfect. Psalm 18:30, it says, as for God, his way is perfect. I love that verse. It's one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. His way is perfect. Doing things God's ways is perfect because it's him. Doing things our ways, it can be perfect. It can be spotty. We can shank it. But his timing, his ways are perfect. They're like, it's the way to go. And to be perfectly honest, in the Christian walk, as I don't know if you've walked with him, with the Lord many years or maybe a few months, but there are things that we wish we had victory over sooner than later. But it is those things that, as God told his people, I got to give it to you little by little because you need to grow in order to take more. I can't give you everything at once because you're not able to handle it. Does that make sense? And God says, yes, it's slow, but it's perfect. And I'm in control. I'm equipping you now for the next season. I am preparing you now. What it may seem like something small or you're barely moving, where you are today, at the job site, at the office, wherever it is, at home, I am working in you. I'm working through you. I'm equipping you. I'm preparing. You're in the machine. As I was telling the first service, you're in the machine shop, putting nuts and bolts and cutting edges and circuit boards. I'm getting you ready for the next thing, Because you're walking with me. Because you're seeking me. Because you're going at my rate. See, it's different. But God is always working. He is preparing us for what's next. Well, what do you mean, Raul? It's quite simple. You look at people in the Bible. You look at Paul, let's say. Paul had a mind that was incredible. He was the intellectual guy. Remember, he said, I was, you know, according to the law, blameless. I exceeded the knowledge of my teachers. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, the guy had a mind, okay? And if you look at his writings, you know, in the New Testament, it's incredible, the depth of eloquence and things that he wrote. But Paul was humbled, right, to the core. He was blind. And the Lord worked through in him, and then he prepared him to work through him. He said, he is a chosen vessel of mine. So the Lord is equipping Paul. And then the rest is history. He became the greatest evangelist and missionary probably the world will ever see. Churches everywhere, miracles through him. But God prepared him from before, humbled him, and then he moved into what God had ordained for him. You think of Moses. Moses had three 40-year periods. What do you mean? 40 years in Egypt, right? Pharaoh, everything's going well. Then 40 years in the back of the desert, taking care of sheep. Moses was a shepherd for 40 years, just taking care of sheep. That's all he did. And it was in the desert, taking care of sheep, that God spoke to him from the burning bush. But those 40 years in the desert, prepare, while taking sheep, prepare Moses for the next 40 years when he will be taking care of God's sheep. Does that make sense? But I can imagine the 40 years in the desert were probably like, okay, I used to be in Egypt, and it was pretty cool, but now I'm taking care of sheep for 1 year, or two, or 10, or 20. How 40? And then God comes. He was being equipped. He was being prepared. Look at David. David was just a shepherd. Isn't that interesting that God uses shepherds? Right? Both of them. Taking care of sheep. Fighting lions and bears and tigers on mine. No, I'm kidding. He said, I slayed the lion. I slayed the bear. The Lord will give me victory. See, while he was fighting lions and bears and taking care of sheep, he was being prepared to face Goliath. Right? He said, who's this guy? Philistine, let's go. I got him. What? The armor doesn't even fit David. He's like, yeah, I don't need it. I'm good. Took a lion out. I can take this guy out. I've been prepared. I've been equipped. I've been in a machine shop in the valleys, whacking, you know, animals away and getting all this dumb sheep running away, getting them around. I play my harp, you know. It's like, I'm ready. It's good. He was prepared for what was next. We are being prepared for what the Lord has. Should you get on the boat? Should you stay with what the Lord has given you today? Today. Zechariah 4, I believe it's 10. It says, 4:10, who has despised the day of small things? It's a small thing. It's just sheep. It's a small thing. It's just a janitor. Oh, what do you mean? Well, let me tell you a story. See, because it's easy to tell examples from the Bible. You go like, okay, Raul, pretty good. You know, we know Paul, we know Moses, we know David. That's an easy call. But what about it? What about you? That's a good question. Let me tell you my story. I don't talk about myself. I actually never talked about myself. And I'm sorry I'm going to bore you for the next 3 hours. But you're going to learn everything about me. No, I'm kidding. See, when I was about 8 years old, my grandma took me to church. And after this service, the pastor, really godly man, was up front, much like here. And she took me and tells the pastor, the main guy, he had a deep voice. He's like, can you pray for my grandson? I'm like, I don't want that. And like, he put his hand on my head and he started praying for me. I don't remember what he said. that I tried to get away from him, and I couldn't. It was like my head was stuck to his hand. I really tried. I'm like, why can't I move from this guy? And I started crying. I'm like, well, that's weird. I don't know if I cried because I was mad or because something was happening. But that happened. Then life happened. I went to the world like everybody else, right, sometimes. And about 20 years old in Anaheim, California, the Lord confronted me in my sin very clearly. And I got saved. Now, I'm not a guy to express emotion. I am emotional, but I'm not one to cry for everything. My wife, see her, she's my witness. When I cry, it's real, okay? I don't know why, but I remember when I got saved there, like, I was, like, uncontrollably just weeping. It's, like, broken. I'm like, okay, I don't usually cry, which means this is real. I am saved. And it was, like, a radical thing. And from there, I went, like, oh, what do I do now? I know I can't be how I used to be and do the things that I used to be before Jesus. I can't do that stuff anymore. So what do I do now? Well, the Lord spoke to me. You will be fisher of men. I'm like, right. Me? Okay. So I got a job. All that to say this. I got a job at a little Christian school, Shoreline Christian School in Fountain Valley, California, as a janitor. I was about 22. Yes. And I was a janitor. I had a vacuum and gloves, and I cleaned everything, the classrooms and everything. They had a school and a church. And I remember my hours were from 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m., so I really didn't have time to go to church at night. And Big Calvary in the early 2000s, they had a service every night. It was when Pastor Chuck was there and John Corse and Don McClure and Joy Brown, all those guys. I'm like, man, I really want to be at church, but I can't because I'm working and vacuuming here. So I quit my job without having another job. I did have money saved, so I'm like, I can wing it for a couple months. And my boss is like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I don't know, but I need to be at church. Oh, that's good. So I quit, and a guy came and found out I quit, and he gave me a job as an electrician. I didn't know anything about it. He taught me, and the rest is history. Now I was at church every night. See, when you quit your job because you want to be at church and you don't go to church, that's not good. So I was at church every night, literally. My friends would be like, you go to church every night? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, you don't know, bro. I better be here. And I learned, and it was like that foundation, you know. But I remember, I used to clean. And on Friday nights, I used to vacuum the stage of the church for Sunday. So this one Friday night, there's nobody there in the church. It's a bigger building, and the pulpit is there. It's all glass. It's a glass pulpit. We used to call it the Crystal Cathedral pulpit. In fact, that was my pulpit when I started teaching junior high there. And I'm like, oh, so I'm with my vacuum here. And I walked up to the pulpit and put my hands on it like this. I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like. And for like 10 seconds, I started like pointing to things and like pretending I was preaching. I did. And then I'm like, okay, somebody's going to see me. So I just kept vacuuming. Well, we get married, my wife and I, we're looking for a church. Oh, I want a church to teach the Bible. And she's like, yeah, I want a smaller church. Okay. Oh, that's difficult. We got Calvary, got Pastor Chuck. I mean, come on. Oh, okay. So anyway, Joey Baran, who's a Calvary pastor, had just started a small church. And wouldn't you know that he was renting Shoreline Christian School, that same place that I worked years before, about 5-6 years before. So we went there, and we got plugged in, and they noticed us, and we started helping with the youth. I was a deacon, then I was an intern pastor, then I was they ordained me. And I remember one day Joey is like, can you teach for me the midweek service Tuesday? I'm like, whoa, that's a big deal. I'm like, okay. And I remember I came up to that same stage that I had vacuumed 8 years before. And I'm like, different pulpit, not the glass one, though. So I'm like, I've been here before. And I told the people, the two people that showed up to listen to me. one of them was my wife. I'm kidding. And the sound guy. That was it. No. I told the people, I'm like, you know, I told them the story. But you see, in my heart, when I was vacuuming at 20, 22, I wasn't ready. You know, I hadn't grown to take the land. God had to work. All by his glory, his grace, nothing to do with me. But it was kind of neat to see how everything kind of came full circle. And I remember walking around and I'd be like, oh yeah, the mop is on that room and the lights you turn off here, because I was a janitor there. I knew where everything was. And one time the guy showed up, my previous boss, to an event of the two churches together, and he gives me a big hug, and all my friends are like, you know him? I'm like, yeah, man, we're friends. Like, he used to be on, I used to work here. He's like, no way. I got ordained there at the same place that I started cleaning rooms. Literally. Who has despised the day of small things? I didn't have a clue that it was going to all come full circle. I didn't know how it was all going to play out. I know what God had called me to do. I knew he had saved me. I knew he had a plan for me, but I couldn't see it at the time. I was just vacuuming. Does that make sense? I was going little by little. The Lord was working in me, but I didn't know. The Lord is working in you, even though you don't realize it. Where you are today. It is so interesting. And I didn't tell the first service this, but I'll tell you, so you get extra bonus. Wouldn't you know that that's the school that my wife graduated from junior high? And wouldn't you know that my mother-in-law used to pray on Tuesday nights up in one of the classrooms, and I used to set up the chairs for that prayer meeting? And wouldn't you know that she was praying for their future, that their his daughter, her daughter's future husbands? And wouldn't you know that I would be right below her with a big old trash cart? Wouldn't you know that when my sister-in-law graduated junior high, at that school, I was the guy cleaning the gym, and they were all there together. The Lord. God ordained. Crazy. You can't make this stuff up. It's crazy. So, who has despised the day of small things? But Raul, is little by little, we want it now. You're being shaped, molded, prepared, equipped. Depth of faith and strength and maturity is being formed in you and me as we walk with him in everything that he has for us. We don't take it for granted. Then I'm there. Arrived. Joey would say, anytime I'm out, Raul, just plan to teach for me on the main services. So it was really humbling and really cool. But then the Lord is like, you're moving to Texas. What? This is the promised land. I'm here. They know us. We know. I know the building. I used to, this was a perfect story. We can write a book about this. And the Lord is like, it's Texas. Texas? 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 And the Lord is like, it's Texas. I'm like, Texas? Okay. Well, the rest is story, right? We're here. I didn't know. I had no clue. You can't make this stuff up. But here's what I do think. My grandma took me to the pastor. He prayed for me. And I wonder how she may have felt when I was 15 and doing all the bad stuff that I did. And when I didn't show up one night and she didn't know where I was. I wonder if she lost hope. See, she could just pray. The Lord was working in all, the whole thing, little by little. And now she, it's amazing. It's full circle. It's like, she's like, I pray for my grandsons, all of them. And the Lord is little by little. The Lord says, I'm going before you, but it's going to take time to develop. It's not a TV dinner. It's not a microwave meal. It's more like a crock pot on the low setting. It's like smoking meat. And you know what? When you smoke meat, it takes forever. If you smoke meat, I'm a fan of you, because that takes so much patience. but it tastes so much better, doesn't it? I'm kind of like the guy that throws it in the microwave. He's like, no, don't do that. It's like, smoked, takes time, but the flavor falls off the bone. I don't know what I'm talking about food. I'm probably hungry. But it's not a TV dinner. It's not microwave. Spiritual maturity and depth with Jesus is not microwavable. It's little by little. If I prayed, and every time I prayed, the answer came immediately before I said, in Jesus' name, done. What kind of depth in prayer and perseverance would I develop if it's just like that? Right? Again, there might be things we have to wrestle till we get to heaven. But we have to keep going. If you know your history, they failed to conquer the entire land. They failed to move into everything that God had planned for them. And everything that God has planned for you, it's for you to take as you walk with him. Has nothing to do with your own strength. Has nothing to do with your eloquence and looks or anything. It's all about him. But as you walk with him, his way is perfect. You'll get there. You need to grow. With Jesus, there are no small things. None. A janitor vacuuming the stage. No, it's not small, Raul. I'm breaking you and humbling you for what's next. Isn't it funny that I told my mom I will never be a janitor when I was 18 years old? 2 years later, it's like, Mom, guess what? I did. And it's awesome. Little by little. I'm not giving you the entire life. You need to grow. I have a 7-year-old son, Eli. He cannot drive my car. His legs cannot reach the pedals. He can't see over the steering wheel. He needs to grow physically, maturely, learn how to be trained to drive. And then he gets to pay me for the truck he's going to get, all used and beat up. Right? Yeah. Some parents go, yeah, let him pay. Yeah. But he's not ready yet. He can play with his go-kart, and he can play with Legos. Okay? Little by little. Show me how you don't lose the Legos. Show me how you don't run over your sister with a little go-kart. Right? That's how it works. So the Lord says, you know, it's for you to take. It's the land I've promised. Little by little, move for it. Just go, not all at once. And one thing that I like to point out is like, I will go before you. I'll send the hornets. I am giving you everything that you need to finish and conquer this entire land. Peter, 2 Peter 1, 3, 4 says, according as his divine power, God, he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The plan that God has ordained for each one of us, he has already given us the tools that we need to accomplish and finish and get to heaven. God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You look at Ephesians 6, the armor of God. You got the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feed, the gospel, right? It's all there. It's like, there's no defenseless poor little Christian. No, no, no. The God of the universe who defeated the grave, we just sang that, is for us, is with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. He fights the battles for us. He's giving us everything that we need. But the key is this. And armor, weapons, they're absolutely no good if they're not being used. They're worthless. Skills, oh, I know how to do that. I know. Well, great that you know. What are you doing with what you know? I tell the youth all the time. I say, hey, guys, this and that and that and the other. They go, then you can see them. They nod their heads. Yes, we know. We've heard that 20,000 times before you got here. Okay, great, but what are you doing with that? What are you doing with what you know? And I always tell them, it comes to a matter of a choice. You have to choose what to do. God is a gentleman.
He was not going to force his will on us and tell us, you must conquer this and walk with me. He's like, no, I'm giving you everything that you need to succeed in this journey that I've called you to and I've ordained for you. But you have to pick up the armor. You have to stick with me. You have to move at my pace. You have to let me lead you and guide you for everything that I have for you. Everything is for you. And oh, by the way, the Holy Spirit, the helper. I mean, it's like we're locked and loaded. It's just like we're fighting from a place of victory. Not to victory, but from victory. We've already, Jesus defeated the grave. It's over. It's just like, finish the deal. And what I like to point out is like all this seasons in life, everything that the Lord does for us and has us do, and it's all preparing us, as my friend was telling me this week, we were talking about this, it's all preparing us for the ultimate destination, heaven. In reality, when you look at the entire thing, Bible, cover to cover, in the spiritual walk, and everything, the journey, it's all for one main final destination, heaven. It's about heaven. If you think about it, you have this little short gap here in, you know, billions and billions and trillions of light years, eternity. You have 80, 90. Okay, I'll give you 100. That's it. That's nothing compared to billions and billions of years. That's the machine shop. It's the welder's place. You're getting prepared for heaven. The things that we do, the people we pray for, the time that we spend for the sake of others to hear the gospel is all because of heaven. And as I was telling the first service, it's like, I'm the kind of guy that I'm going to ask Jesus, can I watch the tape? I want to watch the tapes. I want to see when we were praying for things in the spiritual, what was happening. When my strength was slow and I was losing faith. When I got tired of praying for this person time and time and time again, and they finally got saved. I like to see everything, how it was all happening in the spiritual, and how you were at work, how you were sustaining me. I want to see when I stepped up to teach and do all these things, and I didn't know what to say, how you were there giving me what I needed. The strength, the ideas. I want to see how the thoughts you planted in my heart for. And I want to see the tape. I want to see the tape. I really do. I'm going to ask. And I hope he has them. I'm sure he has them. I want to see how you protected me. All those years where I was sideways and I could have died and you spared my life time and time and time again. I want to see the angels there, like, you know, protecting me, shielding me when I was in that motorcycle on a rainy day, completely wasted, and you kept me. I want to see those angels going like, man, I broke a wing on that one, dude. I'm trying to keep you here. Oh, yeah, that's the angel here. Oh, sorry, bro. Thank you. It's all good. We're in heaven. You know, I want to see that because everything that's happening here is for heaven. Hosanna, Hosanna, save now. But this is all we got. This is it. There's one journey that we don't get to do life all over again. I met a guy once who died at 57 years old, my grandpa, of a terminal disease, and it took him out in 1 year. It was awful. And he got saved. Pretty wise thing to do when you're going to die, right? But I saw a man that was wanting to go back in time. He was clawing to every minute that he had, but he couldn't. I'm like, I want to make sure that I don't go like, oh man, I blew it. I had it. The wisest man besides Jesus, whoever leads Solomon, he says, remember your creator in the days of your youth before the evil time comes. And you look back and, you know, says, I have no contentment, no pleasure in them. Like, that's the second wisest man who ever lived. First one is Jesus, obviously. You want to listen to somebody like that. Remember your creator in the days of before the evil day comes. Remember, today, remember where God has brought you from, what he saved you from, and what he wants to do. Go for it. I mean, it's like, don't blow it. And then if you look at the text that we just read, he says, you're not going to make a covenant with those people. You're not going to let them live in the land. And I don't mean to, I say this in a lot of love, but in 18 years walking with Jesus, you see things. You see people that were at one point walking with the Lord, but they didn't deal with the enemies in the land. They compromised. And now you see them today by the curbside. I know youth kids that I took to camp years ago and poured into them and prayed with them. I baptized some of them. And today, they're like, what happened? They're gone. I'm like, but they know. I tell people, oh yeah, they might be doing that, but they have no excuse. They know. I hear of older people, and it scares me as a pastor. It really scares me. I'm like, wait a minute, how did that happen? Well, like a very godly lady told me once, things don't just happen. They just get exposed. See, it's a slow process because the Lord says, little by little, I'm going to give you the land, but also the enemy of our souls, the roaring lion, whom he may devour, Satan, wants to get inch by inch into our lives. To what? To wipe us out. You give him an inch, and that's a lot of land. That's a lot of real estate. That's too much. Oh, but this is just what I do. I can handle that. I've seen many fallen. And I say that in a spirit of humility and saying, let's, you know, like Paul says, he who stands, take heed lest he falls. But it's reality. Way too many stories, statistics of soldiers anointed, called by God, that have allowed the enemy to live in the land. Oh, we can be friends. We want to elevate our relationships. We want to create a bond. Be careful. A friendship with the world is enmity with God. There's no room for it. Let God save them, and then they can be in the circle. We can't save people. Only God can. But it's too many people that I've known, I've seen, I've heard that have allowed the enemy to remain. And those things that they've allowed to remain have wiped them out. May that be a word of encouragement and warning to us here. Because God's plans for us are perfect. His way is perfect. His plans are good. But it comes to a choice. And what you and I allow in our lives, in our circle, in our homes, whatever it is going to bring an outcome, good or bad. The victory is ours. The land is ours. God says, don't live with them. And then if you will turn with me to Numbers 33. This is how faithful God is. 33:55. It says, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants, or they'll irritate your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you in the land where you dwell. Moreover, it shall be that I will do to you as I thought to do to them. See, God is so faithful and so good that he tells you everything is good, you stick with me, but should you not, it's not going to go well. The everything is good gospel, it's all good, you know, God loves you anyway, you stay in your sin. It's not in the Bible, okay? It's just not. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Galatians 6. Your sin will find you out. And God says, if you don't deal with them, they'll be a thorn in your side. It'll be sand in your eyes, irritating you. It's going to be a constant pain. What God is saying is like, deal with it. Deal with it. Little by little, but deal with it. Don't let it live, stick around. It doesn't belong in your area, in your house, in your life. It's got to go because it'll hurt you. You'll end up as a statistic. You'll be one of those. Don't let them remain. I'm faithful enough to tell you it's for you, but if you don't, it'll hurt. Don't become another statistic, a sad story. And here's how I want to encourage you on that thought. It is a wise thing to ask the Lord. Lord, let me become everything that you have planned for me to be. Not, let me do all this. Because it's not about our strength. Without him, we can do nothing. John 15. It's about, Lord, you take control. You lead me through the land. You give me strength. I don't want to miss out on everything that you have ordained and planned for me. Let me get out of the way. Let my thoughts, insecurities, misconceptions, and preconceived ideas be blown out. And let me become everything that you want me to be. Because I'm not that old, but I get it a little bit on this one. Life as a Christian, apart from what Jesus has for you, it's misery. Because you're stuck in two worlds. You're like, yeah, I'm safe. I'm going to heaven, but I'm like sideways. It's like a car that doesn't work, doesn't go straight. You can't go one way or the other. You're like in between. You're messed up. Meantime, time's passing by, and we're missing great opportunities. Make it your aim. Make it your goal. Let God be the one that sorts everything through, works in people's hearts and miracles and touches hearts. But don't miss what God has for you. Look for the tape when you get to heaven. Are you with me? So, oh yeah, movie time. I want to see this. It was a battle. Look at Paul. Battle? Battle. So he got beat up. They thought he was dead once. He's in heaven. And he's like high-fiving everybody. He's like, yeah, yeah. Peter? Yeah, right here. There we go. Hey, Noah. I mean, really. It's reality. I look forward to meeting all those guys. It's like heaven. It's like, don't miss it. Make it your aim. Make it your prayer daily. Because I can tell you one thing. I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. I have asked the Lord, please, Lord, help me. Whatever you have, it's going to probably hurt at times. It's going to be a battle. Yes, there's going to be enemies in life that need to be wiped out. True. Without it, it's like, what else you got? It's like Peter. Okay, Peter, Jesus looked at the disciples. What are you guys going to do? We'll leave too? Remember when they all bailed on Jesus? And Peter is like, where are we going to go? Only you have the words of eternal life. What else is out there as a Christian besides Jesus? Nothing good. Just with Jesus, glory to glory to glory to heaven. We're getting ready. It's like it's going to be a transition. We're going to go through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not going to touch us. It's just a shadow because we go right through heaven. That's reality for all of us in here. Unless the Lord comes back and takes us, which will be really awesome. But we're going to heaven. If you have Jesus in your heart and you're saved, you are going to heaven. You're going to be there. Oh, make it your aim to finish strong. Bless you. To finish strong. To say, yes, it was good. It was no small thing. There's no small things with me, Jesus would say. It was big. The carpet was clean on Sunday for you. Yeah, but you're old. It's no small thing. The classrooms, the trash was dumped in that school. That's not a small thing. I was working way beyond you. You had no clue. You were just pushing the trash cart. You had no clue what I was doing in the back as you were just there with the headphones listening to Bible studies. You had no clue. I had no clue. We have no clue. I can think of the whirlwind, and we have no clue. But here's what we do know. The Lord is for us. I mean, lives touched, people saved, broken hearts mended through this, through his body to the people. Wow. We have no clue. But you can get on the boat and find out. And I'm not selling something. I don't want you to be, oh, wow, he's totally pitching. No. This is about heaven. This is reality. This is a study. This is a Bible study. It's not about me selling something. It's about encouraging the saints to get on God's agenda. No more wasted time. No more blown call. No. Finish strong. Don't just slow down. I want to encourage you. Don't lose hope. If you're praying for somebody, it's little by little. God is listening. He hears that. He knows that. I pray for people. My son prays for my brother all the time. All the teachers in the classroom is like, yeah, Uncle Sergio. I was like, yeah, man, he's coming. He's not moving very fast, but he's coming to Jesus. He might even crawl over or drag him over. But God is listening to those prayers. And he is at work. Don't miss it. I often wonder, you know, when I pray for thing or place, it's like, I wonder how effective it is. I won't know until I get to heaven. Don't miss it. Don't blow it. Be encouraged. He's working little by little. You're wrestling with that and the other and this thing. Oh, but you're wrestling. You're fighting the good fight. You're going for it. Don't slow down. It's little by little. The Lord is with you. The Lord is for you. You're not going to fail as you walk with the Lord. You can't. For me to live with Christ and to die is gain. God knows. He's at work. You're being equipped, and your final destination is heaven. Oh, man, I pray that many will come. And here's one of my closing thoughts. As he told the people, the land is not going to be in 1 year. It's going to be little by little. You need to grow. You need to develop. I need to work in you before I work through you. I need to work in you before I work through you. The Lord needs to work in you before he works through you. And how he works in you is as you spend time with him, as you walk with him, as you yield your life to him, he begins that work. Craziest thing, when I went back to Costa Rica, which is where I'm from, after being saved a pastor, my old friends went like, you're a pastor? Yeah. Really? Yeah. Oh. Really? I'm like, really. Like Bible. Yeah. Oh, okay. You want to go to the bar? No. You go. Oh, yeah, he's a pastor. It's crazy. The world looks, it's like, wait a minute, there's a new thing. I'm set on my old ways. I'm the same guy. I'm too old. The excuses come up, right? I lost too much time. Well, God gives, last time I checked, Jesus gives new beginnings to everybody every day. There's no wasted time when you turn to him. None. The devil wants you to think that way. The devil wants you to think that you've blown it way too many times, and the enemy has not only stayed in the land, but has taken over. But with God, it's a new beginning. There's a new start. Some people, I say, well, this is just what I do. I've always done this. I set in my ways. Don't tell me otherwise. Okay, here's a thought. God saved you from who you were to make you a new creation. He didn't save you to leave you the same way you were. Otherwise, why save you? Did that make sense? I mean, you needed salvation because you were messed up. So now you are, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ you're a new creation. The old man is gone. Everything is new. That card,
this is just what I've always been. This is what I do.
It works if you don't have Jesus. If you have Jesus, it's a contradiction. It just makes no sense. And I love to see people. I just love it when people just turn and walk with Jesus and put away sin. And you see that change. You go like, they're catching it. They're seeing it. It's real. Nothing speaks louder than a changed life. Nothing speaks louder than something that you just wouldn't let go of, and you let go for the kingdom's sake. It's like, wait a minute, that's a real change right there. Amen. The Lord is at work. Right where you're at today, He is working. Keep vacuuming the stage. Keep vacuuming the stage. Keep pretending. You don't know. You don't know. There's more stories, but I don't want to bore you with it. Sufficient to say this. I am a living witness of this biblical truth. God is always on the move. He's working. We don't want to miss it. Little by little, yes. Don't. Don't blow it. In Jesus' name and for His glory, don't. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't have Jesus, you can't come to Jesus. You can't be saved. You can't start new. Forget what was behind the moment you walked through those doors or that door. It's behind you. You can start fresh. That's His work. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me, He says in Luke, to heal the broke, to bring freedom to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim the good and acceptable year of the Lord. From the moment Jesus began His ministry, it was all about restoring people and giving hope to the lost. He's here. He can heal, restore, touch, change, and save. It's your choice. If you don't have Jesus. Now, if you have Jesus and you've blown it, He's also here for you. And He says, let me handle it. Give it to me. Let's turn this around. Let's turn this boat around. Let's go my way now. There is much land to be possessed yet. Let's go. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for this, Your word. We thank You, Lord, because You are so faithful to all of us to give us life till this moment. And we thank You, Lord, that You are working in us and through us, little by little. I pray, Lord, for those that are wrestling this battle, this journey, that You give them endurance and peace and strength. I pray for those that may be lost that we're praying for, that You will touch those hearts. Lord, I pray that if anybody in this room does not know You or listening online, that they will come to You. And as our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, if that's you this morning, there's somebody in here that needs Jesus. You need to be saved from your sins. You need to know that if you die, you're going to heaven. If that's you, I would love to pray for you and lead you in a prayer. You don't have to come up here. I just want to pray for you right where you're at. Would you please raise your hand? If there's anybody in this place that says, I need Jesus, I need a new beginning. Amen. Lord, we thank You that in this room, we're all Your sheep. And we pray and we ask that You will continue to lead us in Your ways, that You give us eyes to see the unseen, that You are at work even when we lose hope. You are at work. Help us, Lord, to run this race for You, little by little. But I pray, Jesus, that all of us in here will become everything that You have ordained for us to be, all for Your glory and Your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you are visiting for the first time, we have a gift for you in the lobby. If you have any questions, we'll be here to pray for you. There'll be people here to pray for you if you need prayer. God bless you.
Church, and the Lord bless you this week.